Power is, in its formulation, essentially a codification of flows that represents itself as truth, as reality is the only option. Let me briefly outline what I mean when I speak of power. About this game that I used to play with my mother when I was just a boy, 4 or 5 years old. And I know this is sickeningly cute, but it was a game in which we would sit in a field and we would try to see images in the clouds. I'm sure we've all played this game. As soon as we could identify an image, it had already transformed itself into something else, or faded away entirely. And though today, I can't remember any of the specific images that I saw in those clouds, my memories of the experience of watching them, the thrill of making meaning out of them, and perhaps most significantly, the feeling of having been in some small way moved by that experience is still with me. The value of these memories is the emotional experience I associate with them, the memory of experiencing a very real subjective transformation that had to do with my imaginative and emotional engagement with that work of art, I'll call it that, that is in a constant state of movement and becoming. The e-poem is inextricably tied to the medium for which it was created and is therefore tied to a specific temporal moment, a moment that also happens to be the moment in which a particular technology is useful and relevant. When the technological medium when it passes out of our cultural consciousness, the poem goes with it. Let me briefly outline what I mean when I speak of power. I begin with an ontology first articulated in Spinoza's Ethics as Natura Naturans and thoroughly articulated by Deleuze, an ontology of immanence as opposed to one of transcendence. Power is, in this formulation, essentially a codification of flows that represents itself as truth, as reality, as the only option. And as we all know, power is already productive, it's always productive, but it's also always exclusionary, oppressive, oppressive, and limiting. The apparent stability of this codification relies upon certain relationships being maintained, certain flows continuing to interact. Resistance, or resistant activities, does one of two things. It either reinforces the relationships that maintain power, or it changes the conditions in which power can function and causes a transformation. A fundamental reason that one writes and disseminates poetry, which is culturally marginal as it is, and particularly avant-garde or experimental poetry such as e-poetry, which is on the margins of the marginal, is to resist the power about which I just spoke. It is the creation of what Deleuze and Guattari call a minor literature, a literature that is made of deterritorialized language, and a literature that is always social, always political. A primary purpose of this kind of poetry is to engage power from a minority position in order to alter the conditions that power relies upon to maintain itself, ultimately providing greater opportunities greater potential for those who are limited in their understanding of their own ability to access what Foucault would call a creative force or puissance for subjectivation. The most effective form of resistance is not necessarily a resistance that butts against. It is not necessarily a resistance that is loud and confrontational. Rebellious resistance is most often a part of the network of relationships that power depends upon. Fighting with power reinforces the structure of power. Rather, the kind of resistance that is most effective in bringing about transformation is a resistance that slips or shifts, it drops below or rises above. In other words, it is a resistance that severs the relationships that power depends upon. It alters the terrain upon which power is able to maintain itself. This is a nomadic resistance, a resistance that pays no mind to the borders that power tells us are impenetrable. Negri calls it exodus, Virno calls it exit. This kind of resistance consists of lines of flight that destabilize power, that render it ineffective.